Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Doug Gage, who is the director of the Michigan State University Bioeconomy Network. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Very good, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I think perhaps the best place to start, Doug, is what the Bioeconomy Network kind of entails for our audience.
Well, probably I better first define what the bioeconomy is.
And I would appreciate that.
At MSU, we define it as the conversion of biomass, which can be agricultural waste, other waste materials, organic waste materials, and converting those into fuels, chemicals, or materials which will replace petroleum made products today. So that's sort of the big picture of what the bioeconomy is. It entails lots of different areas. MSU made a significant decision to develop this area of research several years ago. And on campus, we've got tremendous strengths in historical strengths in agriculture, plant science, but also in policy, economic analysis, and outreach, all of which were working in this area. And my job on campus was really to sort of to lasso those groups together in a way where we could really compete effectively for larger national federal research grants and corporate research grants. So that's what the Bioeconomy Network is. It's a sort of a loose confederation of people both on campus and off campus really working in this area, trying to harness all our resources in a coordinated way.
Well, and of course, this topic gets a lot of attention when gas prices are where they are, Doug, but this is research that's going on all the time and has been for an awfully long time.
Right. We've started, as I said, as probably more than 5 years ago to make a concerted effort in this area. And it really kind of built on a lot of strengths that we've had for quite a while. So I think our most significant achievement to date in this area has been winning a competitive grant from the Department of Energy with the University of Wisconsin to develop next-generation biofuels. And so these are sort of beyond corn ethanol, but using non-food materials to create not only ethanol, but next-generation biofuels. And there are a tremendous number of technical hurdles before us in order to achieve that. I mean, if we can do that, we're going to be making useful materials, useful stuff out of stuff that today is thrown away. So that's something that we're very excited about. This is a $142 million five-year project. We're in the fourth year of that project right now. It really has four components, one of which is to sort of what is that next bioenergy crop going to be? And then there are a number of questions around that. Then how do we convert that crop material into or prepare it to be converted into useful materials? That's a huge challenge as well. What do we convert it into is another question. And then finally, how do we do this in a sustainable way? That is, not causing environmental damage, that it's done in a way that makes money for the producers, and done in a way that's socially acceptable to the population. All of those are great questions. We've got about 400 scientists working on that at both institutions and a few other minor contributors. But it's a huge effort, very exciting science, really cutting-edge stuff involving quite a few people on both campuses.
Well, and is this in part, sir, where MBI comes into the mix?
Yeah, so MBI is a not-for-profit company owned by the MSU Foundation. They are were set up by the state probably 25 years ago or more, and that MBI was purchased by the foundation about 6 years ago. And the focus of that company is really around taking these early stage technologies that come out of the research laboratories and moving them toward commercial application. And that's where a lot of new technologies go to die, is in that transition period. It's very hard to take something that's done at a very small scale and make it commercially viable. And we feel that's a really critical piece that we need to really focus on in order to make these, to actually make this beyond a research project and make these technologies actually applicable in the real world.
And of course, MBI, I guess I like to make sure I define acronyms as the Michigan Biotechnology Institute.
Yeah, that was its original name, and it now just goes by the acronym MBI.
But. Well, I appreciate the correction. Thank you. I was trying to be correct, and I appreciate being updated on that. I've found interesting the move away from corn, using foods and crops such as corn for fuel, and instead looking at, moving away from that.
Right. Well, the reason that food crops have been used is that they're readily converted into sugars, and sugars are the starting point for the production of ethanol. That's a technology that goes back thousands of years. So it's relatively easy to do. We can do that with relatively simple technologies. Converting stalks of corn and wood chips and things like that is a much harder challenge. Plants have evolved not to degrade and break down very, very easily, and so what we have to do is to convince them to give up those sugars, which are in these non-food parts of the plant, in a way that is economically viable, and will allow us to convert energy, to get energy out of those materials rather than from the food, the grains that we currently use.
Well, and another part of what I was reading before speaking with you, sir, is I like that you talk about it's not just about research, but development. I mean,
right.
Moving forward.
Yeah, I think that the Department of Energy in this case is really, although we view the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center as a research project, but we want to look beyond that. And we have plenty of technical challenges ahead of us. So there's no shortage of challenges, and there's been great progress in the last 4 years. But the goal here is to introduce these technologies into the real world, and that's got to be where we keep our eye on the ball.
Well, and this latest grant, the $2.9 million, of course, is just one of several that MSU has.
Yeah, so that builds on this sort of commitment that we've made over the last few years. So the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, Merrigan, was here a few weeks ago to announce three awards. And they really kind of build on what we're doing. So I'll give you how they fit in. So one of these awards was to look at how the effect of pests of some of these potential energy crops like switchgrass, that you've probably heard of,
mm-hmm.
or would they be a threat to our food crops? So wheat, for example, another grass. And we've got to make sure that we don't introduce a new bioenergy crop into our agricultural system that's going to cause problems for our current crops. So that's a really important project. Another was to look at the conversion of what is a waste product in biodiesel production, glycerol, into a useful chemical feedstock, succinate, which is used in production of things like spandex and other things. It's currently derived, the precursors are derived from petroleum. So this would be a way of replacing a petroleum-derived chemical. And the third was looking at how the introduction of sort of energy crop plantations actually affect the local environment. So how carbon in the soil is affected, runoff, and other kinds of effects on the actual land where these sort of energy crop plantations, woody crops, would be grown. So all those fit together in a way. They all address different questions that we're all trying to answer. But they fit very nicely and very complement very nicely what we're trying to do in a variety of other areas.
Well, and I also like what you've said about sustainability having the three parts, and you alluded to that earlier,
right.
As well.
Yeah, I think, when you talk to people, sustainability means lots of different things to many different people. But I think the way we want to look at it is it really does have this, you know, things have to be environmentally sustainable. That is, you don't want to degrade the environment when you introduce a new process. But I think a key thing for adoption is people have to be able to make a viable economic go of it. It can't be heavily subsidized. It's got to be something that, you know, can make a return on an investment. And if we want farmers to switch to these areas, industrial manufacturers to start using these materials and in these fuels, they can't be, over the long run, they cannot be economically unsustainable. And then the third thing is really social acceptance. And so we really can't introduce this, you know, really what will be revolutionary kind of changes in our economy without really making sure that people are willing to accept that and to go along. So all of these things require different kinds of people, different kinds of analysis. So we have economists working on our projects. We have extension outreach people. We've got a variety of different disciplines coming together to sort of address all of those questions, in scientists, ecologists, soils experts, just about any kind of discipline that can impact that we've tried to bring to bear on this project.
Well, I think this latest grant just, of course, continues the momentum going on at MSU and with the Bioeconomy Network. Sir, I appreciate so much your knowledge and perspective this evening. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Doug Gage, who is the director of Michigan State University Bioeconomy Network, will be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.